self-control. Your legs are smooth as they graze mine. We're doing nothing at all.
My arms are so high that your kiss might kill me. So won't you kill me? So much I have been. My heart is yours to fill a thirst, to break the barrier. Where is jewelry?
Hey everyone, and welcome to They're Playing Our Song, the podcast where your song becomes our song. I'm your host, Robert Perry Cruz, and with me today is nobody. Figured that given where we were going with our theme this month, when I thought of this song, Hands Down by Dashboard Confessional, our song for this week, I realized that I don't know how many other people really liked talking about this song with me, and given that it is sort of a song that captures a lot of the personal feelings, I think, of young people, I figured, well, why not just do this one by myself, give my wife a break, give any of my friends lassoed into doing this podcast kind of a break, and I'll just kind of go it alone. So hopefully this will not be terribly boring listening to me talk to me and to you at home, but we'll see how it goes. So like I said, this week's song is Hands Down by Dashboard Confessional from their 2003 album A Mark, A Mission, A Brand, A Scar, which was their most popular album. I'm sure many of you who are around in 2003 listening to music will definitely remember this song. It tells the story of singer-songwriter Chris Carrabba's best date ever, according to him. And that's really all this song is about. It is a song about a great date. And you know what? I think given how much we've been sort of looking down on teenage songs, this probably is one of the better examples of how teenage songs can actually mean something special to folks. The song itself, I think, captures just the raw emotion. One of the reasons I like it is it just captures that raw emotion of being young and having so many feelings. You know, the couple in this song are clearly not that old. There's just a lot of things and lyrics that are said that really don't point to, you know, some of the couples we've seen in other songs we've done on the show where they've been together a long time or it's near the end of their relationship. This is beginning of relationship song. This is maybe we haven't actually even been out on a date. We've just sort of hung out a few times, or we know each other pretty well from some sort of an activity, and we're just kind of seeing where our emotions take us. So it captures that exuberance of that or initial attractiveness, initial attraction. Maybe there's love starting to bubble underneath the surface, and it's leading to this date. Again, maybe it's not the first date, but it's certainly an early date. So much so that I don't think this is a couple that's even really kissed. They probably just sort of hung out. You know, you'll see them sitting on couches, and everyone looks and says, oh, those two are going to go out. Those two are going to be a couple, because I see how they're looking at each other and, you know, touching each other's on the shoulder and putting their arms around each other. And you kind of have that sense, you know, if you're looking outside looking in on their relationship. But anyway, let's get into the song itself. Now, musically, this is not the most complex song. Certainly, it's a pop song, which means it is going to have a pretty straightforward structure. And in the case of this song, it's pretty much verse, chorus, and then an extended end. I'm not sure what you call that in music. I'm just proud I was able to say verse, chorus. But then a very different ending, which I think gives the song some extra legs. And we'll get to that when we go through the lyrics. But listening to the music, it's sort of the verses really have a much more quiet tone to them. It's sort of just got the guitar plucking, almost, you know, simulating the heartbeat of the young person who's on this date and is just feeling a lot, getting ready to be with this person, to kiss them, to say the right thing. They're so excited, but they don't want to seem too excited. So it has this very, very restrained, but sort of pulsing sound to it. Then when you get to the chorus, of course, it's boom, loud noises. The whole band comes in because we've got, you know, almost like the verses are what the singer is doing or what the character is doing, and the verses are, boom, let's go inside their mind and see what they're thinking. And of course, it's, oh, everything. I love this person. I need to be with this person. This is an amazing experience, which certainly, you know, I'm sure most of you remember being on a first date with someone and just having that feeling of I'm going to do a good job as, you know, the actor in this date, but inside at any moment. Like, I really could very easily just grab this person and, you know, throw him down, you know, dip him over Gone with the Wind style and give him a big kiss, because it's just so intense. The feelings are so intense. I feel like the words emotion, feeling, and love will be spoken about 800 times on this episode, so maybe someone wants to send me a thesaurus for the show. I'd appreciate it. Then finally, in that last verse, we stay with the loud, full band, full of emotion vocals, because we're looking at the wrap-up of the whole song, where the singer's, what he's actually doing, his actions on the date, and his emotions all sort of come together in the final denouement, which is a phrase I'm sure Dashboard Confessional never thought anyone would say about their song. So that just goes to show how pretentious I am, I guess. So that's the music. That's sort of the heart of the music. But let's get into the story or the lyrics of the rest of the song. Now, again, I think we've tried to be as highbrow as possible on the show, and this is not maybe the strongest example of lyrics, but again, there's something about having a song that's just emotion, that's just feeling, that just describes what's happening without, you know, as much, say, imagery or metaphor as in some other songs. There's just something about that on-the-noseness of the lyrics here that I think are totally appropriate for the content matter of the song. This is a song about someone who is probably young, teenager, maybe early 20s. So they probably don't have a great vocabulary to describe their feelings, describe falling in love, describe attractiveness. And though we could also say maybe Chris Kuraba just isn't that complex a songwriter, I think what we have here really fits with the tone of the song. So I'm going to let it pass and say that it is very appropriate for what we're listening to. So let's go verse by verse, because this is the story of a date. So let's just dig into it together, shall we? Again, we've got these two young people out on a date. Maybe not even a date. Maybe they're just spending time together even. The first verse, you've really got the idea, this dichotomy of the two people who are staying calm, though inside you've got that cauldron of cauldron of feelings trying to bubble to the surface. You've got your beating heart, you know, we talked about with the music. And you're really looking at the character, the main character, the protagonist, almost, you know, reminding themselves, like, stay cool, breathe in for luck, breathe in deep, just how amazing it is being with this person, and how he needs to just keep his cool, even though he wants more to happen. Then we go on to the chorus, and we'll get back to the chorus. And then our second verse, again, I think paints the picture of two young people. Again, this is one of the verses that spells out exactly how old these young people are in the song, because they're certainly spending time together. Maybe they're stealing some sort of a private moment. Maybe they're at a party and they've just gone to a different room and they're sitting together. Or maybe they're just in a corner of a space. Or maybe they're in the backseat of a car. Who knows where they are? They're somewhere where they kind of can be more secret. They're stealing a moment together. And they're entwined and undiscovered is how it's described. And even though it might sound a bit like maybe they're about to have sex, I don't think that's the case. This is really one of those early moments where they're probably starting to get a little closer. Maybe they're cuddling a little more. They've got their arms around each other, or they're sort of hugging and breaking. And use your imagination, folks. Think back to when you were young. So nothing too blue, but they're definitely starting to feel a physical closeness. And the singer even jokes that everyone would probably assume that they're going to get some, that they're going to, you know, have sex. I need to explain that to you, audience, what that phrase means, because I'm sure you're all under 18. And, you know, again, the singer sort of dismisses that. No, this isn't that. We're just spending time together, though, with kind of a wink that, well, you know, maybe it would be nice if... ellipsis to what could be. Now, something interesting I noticed about the song is that there aren't any he-she pronouns throughout the song. It's always, me, I, we's, even you's, but no he or she. So technically, the singer, the protagonist of the song, and when we get to the end, we see that there's one person who's, opens the door, and then the other person who kisses the protagonist. It could be the singer, the main character, is a guy, but it could also be a girl, because it is never explicitly mentioned that it's a guy or a girl. Now, I would assume that the song is about a guy singing about a date with a girl, mostly due to phrases like, so we could get some. Perhaps, I'm not going to say that that never happens, that the, you know, main person who's interested in getting some in a date wouldn't be the female, but from my own experience, that's typically an expression that you would hear from the male of the date, as that is, especially if you're a young person, one of the main things you're thinking about on every single date, or every single class, or every single trip to the grocery store. It's pretty high up on the list. Also, later on, they're describing the other person on the date twirling their hair. Again, guys could twirl their hair. I'm sure there are some that do, maybe if they have longer hair, but most of the time we would assume that someone twirling their hair was a female. So this is most likely a guy singing about a date with a girl, but you know what? There aren't any pronouns telling you otherwise, so hey, could be a girl singing to a guy. And that would be fine. Maybe a nice twist on the typical teenage song. Who knows? So let's get on to the chorus. And this, if you were listening to radio around 2003, is probably something you heard a whole bunch of time. Well, if your kiss might kill me, so won't you kill me, so I die happy. My heart is yours to fill or burst, break or bury, wear as jewelry, whichever you prefer. Again, a little bit silly on the simile and metaphor in this phrase. It's very on the nose, but again, why is that always a bad thing? This is a song about the exuberance of that first date, the exuberance of new romance and young love. So hey, what better way to describe it than getting as sappily poetic as possible? The idea that we've got this main character who just wants to kiss this guy, whichever way you want to go with it, but just wants to kiss her and hold her and be with her. And it doesn't matter if it works out. It doesn't matter if it's a disaster, because he just wants it to happen so much, no matter the consequences. Even if she rejects him or uses him or makes him feel horrible or makes him feel great, the outcome doesn't matter. Just the feeling that this is something that has to happen. And it's sweet in a way, just that willingness to give all for young love. I like that. And God knows, when I was a younger guy and would go on dates, there were plenty of dates where, even if I wasn't quite sure where any of the future would lie with the other person, this is exactly how I felt. Like, I'm gonna kiss this person. This is gonna be forever. I don't even care what happens. It's just important that I exude my feelings. Because, geez, the teenagers exude feelings. It's an embarrassing thing to think about. Let's all think about that for a moment. Think about being an embarrassed teenager. Ugh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, buddy. I feel bad for you. That guy right there. I don't know if that joke ever worked. Certainly probably doesn't work over the radio. Anyway, enough of my vaudeville shtick. Let's get on to the big last verse of the song, which I certainly enjoy the most. This is probably the biggest touch point for me on this song. And it may have to do with the fact that it breaks the formula of chorus verse. It may have to do with just that ending, the raw, just almost vomiting of emotion at the end of the song. That makes it sound much less fun to listen to than it truly is. I apologize for my choice of word. This is why we have a guest sometimes. They can give me something to react to, as opposed to leaving me to think up terrible metaphors. So in the last verse, the singer is really describing, what I'd consider a flashbulb memory in talking about the very end of this night, this date, and walking his date home, or her date home, and what happened to end the evening. And spoiler alert, if you haven't listened to the song, it ends with a very nice kiss by the girl or guy's door, which is so sweet. Mm-hmm. But before then, we've got this very detailed description. It sort of reminds me of undergrad psychology. We talk about the idea of a flashbulb memory. So a memory that was just so important to you that you remember the details, and then you played it over and over and over and over again in your mind, to the point that it wasn't so much a memory of what had happened anymore, but your memory of how you're describing it happened. So for all we know, the singer's end of the date wasn't really that great. I'm sure it was really good, but maybe all these things didn't quite happen as he or she remembers, but it's just, that's the story. The way I'm telling it in the song is how it happened, because it's how I want it to happen. It's how I'm subconsciously forcing myself to remember it happened. This is the story I told all my friends the next day, and I told everyone that would ever listen to me talk about this date. So it's almost more of a, you know, American folk tale of a date than it is an actual memory of a date. And certainly I think we all do that with special memories. You get that sense that it's that flashbulb memory from the minor details of how he remembers the scent of her hair, the way the lights looked, that they were soft lights, the scent around, how the street was wet, just all these little details that don't really have anything to do so much with the date itself, but are just stimuli that the singer remembers, that he or she just picked up on the environment, because the whole thing is taken on this epic air for him or her. So the description again is just they're walking home, the gate's locked, so he jumps over the gate to let her in. Again, he doesn't use he or she, it's I jumped to let you in, like he's talking directly to the girl or guy. You know, girl, guy, his, her. Oh, I'm being annoying with my pronouns. I apologize. And I just love that idea of the gate's locked. So what's the first thing he's going to do? Oh, I'm jump over this gate. I'll open it for you. It really captures the bravado of being on a first date. You know, I'm sure if you think back to some first dates that you've been on out there in podcast land, you'll remember, oh man, I would have done anything. Because on a first date, you're not really yourself, you're the best version of yourself you possibly could be. And it's so important that if something comes up, some challenge comes up, you respond to it as amazingly as you can. I was going to say as masculinely as you can in my case. Well, I try to be masculine as I can. I am a guy who makes podcasts about songs, so it's kind of a ceiling on how much I can do that. But the idea that I'm going to jump over this fence and I'm going to open the door for you, because I want to make sure you know how much I care and how cool I am. And that's a funny detail. I really like that part of the song, just really capturing, again, that whole picture of the young couple on a date. And then finally, the end of the song, and one of the main reasons that I would consider this my song that I'm sharing today, when they get to the porch with your hands on my waist, so her hands on his waist, let's just say, and kissed me like you meant it. And then repeating that kissed me like you meant it over and over. And you've got the whole band in the back. You've got Chris Carrabba singing just so loudly and passionately about how she kissed him like she meant it. And I just love that description of a kiss, that it's a kiss that you just know. You're sending a message through your kiss that you mean this. This isn't just an end-of-the-date kiss. This isn't just a, I'm lonely, I'll kiss you, I guess, kiss. This is a kiss that means something. What does it mean? It means I love you. It means I like you. It means this is important. It means that I'm happy. It means that you're amazing. It means that I'm amazing. It means that this is the best day ever. And all of these things are just transmitted through a kiss. Just close your eyes. Picture that kiss. It immediately gives you an image of the couple on the stoop just kissing. And they're not doing a swoon. They're just kissing. But the way they're kissing, you can just tell it's an amazing kiss. It's a good kiss. And I think if we you know, those of us who are either married or are still in the dating scene, you know, can remember at least one, if not two or three of those kisses in our lifetime that just meant something, that had a power beyond which we expected, that just, you know, you can still feel that kiss. You know, you think back on it now. And if you're married and that kiss was not with your wife or husband, maybe don't tell them about that. Hey, just keep that one to yourself as it's your memory. But hopefully it was also with your significant other. But just, there's just a meaning. There's a meaning to it. And it doesn't even mean we're going to get married. It just means something in the moment, because this is very much a young person, which therefore means in the moment kind of song. And that's how the song ends. Hands down, best day I can ever remember. Because again, this whole memory for the singer is an amazing one. It's full of wonderment and it's full of strong feelings. And it just runs that gamut of staying cool to just losing one's mind. And I really love this song for that. So why is it my song? Well, of course, I've explained it a little bit, but in summary, I think this is a song that spells out some very powerful emotions. And I know for me, conjures up some just fabulous memories. Memories now at this point of how I thought about this song, but also very personal memories of when I was younger and how I would feel about being on a date. And a memory of this song that I have is one that ties into the fact that my wife and I have been married for 9 years as of last week, and I think back to one of our earliest dates. Now, if you don't want to hear my personal story, skip ahead about 2 minutes and get to the whys is our song chunk of time. If you don't want to hear me wax about my personal life, but this was a time when my wife was not even my girlfriend at the time. We were not even dating. She was dating somebody else. I just knew her, and I had fallen in love with her and just sort of was not exactly biding my time. That sounds creepy, but was just sort of sad that it wasn't, we weren't going to be able to be anything more because she was dating somebody else. And I wasn't going to, be the saddest of early 20 somethings and tell her how much I felt. So she could be like, "Ooh, yeah, get lost, dude." But we did have an occasion where a friend of mine was working on a project during grad school. So he couldn't be there to help out. And he said, "Would you mind doing it?" And of course I, as coolly as possible, was like, "Oh, yeah, I'll do that." Because I just wanted to spend any time together. And we helped with the project. And then I don't remember if it was my suggestion or hers, but we went out and, got a quick bite to eat afterwards. And, I don't know if she thinks this way, but it definitely had the vibe of a date because we were just talking and hanging out. But again, it wasn't a date. It was just two people hanging out. I potentially wanted it to be more at the time, whereas I think she was oblivious to the fact. I hope she was oblivious. Perhaps I was very transparent. And we just were talking and just having a great time. And there was absolutely nothing outwardly romantic. We didn't, sneak off to a place so we could, get some, like in the song, or people would assume we're getting some. We were all in very public places. Some of it were doing schoolwork. And it just the conversation and just the proximity and being there and having somebody who I had convinced myself I think I had feelings for this person from one or two previous interactions, and just having that be reinforced by being with her for even longer was amazing. And I remember going home, I was just tingling with energy, and I couldn't help myself. And I listened to this song. I can't remember if it was on the radio or if I just played it from the CD, but I just listened to the song and I sang it as loud as humanly possible and banged the drum on my steering wheel because I felt exactly like Dashboard Confessional. I felt exactly like the singer. It was just the greatest event ever, and hadn't even ended with a kiss where anyone meant anything, but just that feeling of this is special and I'm so happy no matter what happens the rest of our time together. Spoiler alert, we got married. It all worked out in the end. But no matter what was going to happen, even if we hadn't ended up together, that was going to be an amazing moment where there was a connection and I couldn't do anything but sing it and scream it to the world, i.e. the people in my car, which was just me at the time. So that's one of the reasons this song's special to me. It is very much tied to a memory of mine, and it very much is tied to a memory of young me being an emotional disaster, not quite disaster, but emotional melting pot, or what have you. So anyway, if you skipped ahead, welcome back. You missed so much. So let's talk about why should it be our song. Well, I think one of the themes that we've kind of accidentally stumbled upon in this show is more adult themes, possibly because most of my guests have been people about my age in their 30s, and we're starting to look for songs that are a bit more mature. But you know what? I think sometimes it's okay to have a song that may not be a quote-unquote good song, but that just feels like something, that just reminds you of something. If you're an older person, it reminds you of what it was like to feel that way. And I think this song, better than a lot of songs, captures that emotion in a way that I don't see as embarrassing for people who are older. If you are a young person too, man, this song must just scream to you, because I know it did when I was younger. It was that's my song. I feel this way. Who they wrote? Did they write this song for me? Because the singer knows exactly what I'm like. And for that reason, because it captures the feelings of being young, whether you are old or young. It just captures that moment in time so very well, and so just sweetly and passionately. I think Hands Down by Dashboard Confessional should be our song. Aww. Well, anyway, thank you for sitting through my ramblings on the microphone to myself. I hope it wasn't too painful for anybody. I know I had a good time, but I do like to hear myself talk, which is the whole point of this show, is hearing either myself or having other people hear themselves talk about songs. So, in any case, thanks very much for joining us as we continue these explorations of love, which again was not a planned theme, but it's kind of just what's been going on this month. So we'll see if we can keep it going for a little bit longer, continuing to explore this magical word we call love in our songs and our song choices and our discussions. If you are interested in sharing some feedback, or if you'd like to be on the show or share a song you want us to talk about, you can email me at rob@playingoursong.net. You can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/playingoursong.net. You can follow us on Twitter at @playing_oursong. And you certainly can always go to the website, which is playingoursong.net, to see some posts. Sometimes we'll put the music video of a song up if you want to check it out. Or every Monday before the show goes up, you can take a look at what we're going to be singing. So we're going to be singing. We might be singing, but certainly what we're going to be listening to that week, and get it for yourself. Or sometimes we're able to find a free version on YouTube, which is your benefit too. If you liked the show, or at least just want to make me feel better about my own self-esteem, you could certainly subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever app you use to listen to your podcasts. If you want to, you could also leave us a review there too to increase our visibility, or decrease our visibility if you think we don't deserve additional visibility, which I understand, we're all entitled to our own opinion. As for me, I don't have too many big plugs, but I'm going to do a plug for some other people that I know, and it very much relates to the idea of love. Two of our previous guests, Carolyn and Mark, are happily married as of last week, so congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Brillon, who I am told will be on the show again, possibly to talk about some of their own romantic song choices from the wedding. As someone who was there, I will tell you right now, one of the best playlists I think I've ever had the privilege of jumping around like an insane person to. So sorry if I moshed or crashed into you people at this wedding. I really, really was just feeling almost every song that was played. And also a nice plug for my cousin Ben and his now fiance Laura. They just were recently engaged, and boy, what good timing for our themes about love, or accidental themes. I swear I did not plan all these things, and I did not tell these people to get married or engaged just to promote my podcast. I did not. They did it all on their own, but we're happy for them here at They're Playing Our Song Central. Well, that's our show for this week. Really, really hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week with another song. But until then, remember, it's your song, so play it long and play it loud. Bye, everyone. We'll be right back.